John Reed Edwards was elected to the Senate in 1998 as a Democrat representing North Carolina. He served only one term before retiring to run for president. Now, less than a decade later, he's running for the presidency of the United States again.
My dad worked in the mills. When I was born, he had to borrow $50 to bring me home here. When the mills closed, I saw firsthand how devastating bad government and corporate greed can be. I'm running for president to do what I've always done, fight for people like the ones I grew up with against the powerful forces that have corrupted Washington. Don't tell me it can't be done. I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message because growing up here, you never stop fighting, and you never forget where you came from.
Now, some people in North Carolina say maybe somebody has forgotten where he came from. The former senator has spent almost as much time running for the White House as he has representing the Tar Heel State. In our continuing series this week, taking a look at candidates and how they're perceived in their hometowns or states, we turn to Senator John Edwards. Joining us now to provide a little local perspective is Laura Leslie, State Capitol Bureau Chief for WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Allison.
So how did Senator Edwards, not yet then Senator, Senator Edwards run for the presidency, play in 04?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How did Senator Edwards run for the presidency play in North Carolina in 2004?
I think a lot of people were a little surprised. He just had entered politics in 1998, kind of out of nowhere. He was this star litigator who did a lot of product liability and medical malpractice suits, you know, was well known for that, but had never run for office. In 98, he ran against the Republican incumbent, Locke Faircloth, and he wasn't given very good odds because we tend to pick Republican senators here in North Carolina. But he upset Locke Faircloth, and so that was kind of a surprise to people. But then when he turned around and started running for president in 2004, I think a lot of people were surprised by the timing, thinking that perhaps he didn't really have enough experience yet to be running for such a high office.
How about this year?
Not so much. Well, he hasn't exactly quit running since 2004. After the defeat, he was part of the creation of something called the Center for Poverty, Opportunity, and Work at UNC, which basically gave him a platform to keep moving around the country and giving speeches in important key states. And so he hasn't ever really quit running, so to speak. So it was just sort of a matter of time.
I want to move on to that Poverty Center in just a moment, but first, as a senator, did he come through for people in the state? Did he make good on his promises?
Well, he never made a whole lot of real specific promises to begin with. His platform then in 98 was really similar to his platform now. It's health care reform, patients' rights, education, you know, the big fighting for the little people against the big guys. And that was really, you know, where he was at in 1998, still where he's at today. But when he got to the Senate, of course, he didn't do all that much. But then again, he was a first term senator, so that's not, I suppose, that surprising. But he didn't do a lot for North Carolina in particular, and that's some things that folks here noted. It's like, well, yeah, you're up there, you're working on the impeachment trials for Clinton, you're signing on to bills with other senators from other states, but what are you doing for us? And the answer is, well, not so much.
Well, because he doesn't really have a long political record, a lot of journalists locally and even nationally write about the rest of his life in North Carolina, his homes, the ones he has in town and at the shore, his office, and how all of that rolls into his anti-poverty message. Tell me about the discussions about this house that he's building. It's on 102 acres, and why it's a point of discussion.
It's a point of discussion, I think, simply because of its size. North Carolina is kind of a conservative state, and sort of displays of wealth are a little frowned on. And this is a really big house. It's about 10,000 square feet, just the mansion part, but it's a whole compound, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He has the money. He made the money fair and square. You know, it's his to spend, to be fair. But a lot of people kind of look at the size of that house and say, you know, what does this guy know about poverty? And, you know, and I think it's important, like you were playing that commercial at the beginning of the segment, that's the whole narrative about the mill town, you know, child who grows up and makes good.
His dad borrowed $50, but 40 of that was for a baby haircut for John Edwards.
A really good haircut.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking kid.
But seriously, you know, I mean, that narrative, I think, probably plays better outside the state than it does in it, because it's not that uncommon a story. There's a lot of people here who came from very poor roots and are now doing well, not that well, you
right.
know, but well. And so, you know, I'm not sure that people here are as willing to accept sort of, you know, this two-part character, this guy who used to be poor and this guy with the biggest house in the county.
Now, Edwards has spent a lot of time talking about the two separate school systems in this country, especially over the summer. He called it economic segregation. But local papers and ABC News pointed out this new home that he's put on this land, it's about 1 mile into a really good school district and 1 mile from a not-so-good school district. So the question is he a man who walks the walk?
You know, the thing is yes, and I think that's one of the things that people around here like. You will actually see him in the grocery store with his kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, he, you know, for all of his wealth, he still manages to be sort of a normal person in the community. People know him; they talk to him. You know,
there it was interesting. I read one article that said that the Edwards think they're still real people, but they may not really understand how much their money separates them from others.
Yeah, and I think that may even be more true of the rest of the family.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth Edwards, she's been one of his biggest assets. His wife, I mean, she's an amazing character. She does book signings around here. You see her out. And his daughter, Kate, has been on the campaign trail for him, you know, when she get away from law school at Harvard.
NPR intern,
and she was an NPR intern, full disclosure.
Yes. Well, I mean,
never
also, I saw her stumping for him here in North Carolina in 2004. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they're huge assets, and they're also very well-liked here.
When he was on the ticket as vice president, when the Kerry Edwards ticket, they did not take North Carolina, although no Democrat has since Carter.
Yeah.
Was he supposed to deliver his home state?
No.
No? Nobody ever thought that would be the case?
I'm sure that people were hoping that that might be the case, but, I mean, we're a deeply purple state. We go Democrat governor down for the most part, and I'm generalizing here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Senate on up, we tend to pick Republicans, and that's just sort of a reflection of the sort of conservative Democrat / moderate Republican midstream that is the state. So I don't think there was ever a real consideration that he was going to bring it over. But, of course, you know, like you said, you can cross your fingers. So.
But in our last few seconds, we talked about the big house. We talked about the public school system. His office is in a Tony area, sort of near the Google office. He addressed the issue head on with the Chicago Tribune about whether or not people will believe him. He said, am I a phony or not? I think they'll say I'm not. What about North Carolinians?
You know, that's tough. I think there's a lot of skepticism about his connection, his real understanding of poverty, but at the same time, I think there's a real desire to believe him. And when you see him on the stump, he's an amazing campaigner. He can get his point across, and people believe him. He's just a credible guy on the stump. So I guess that'll depend on how much time he spends campaigning down here.
Laura Leslie, State Capitol Bureau Chief for WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up on the BPP, we got the most popular stories on the old internets. We call it the most. Every time we call it that, I have to pay Allison 50 cents.
Yeah, 50 cents. Got
she
the copyright
the
on, that.
Uh-huh. on that.
At the end to our series, on a way out there that scientific ideas can keep the Earth from heating up, it's called It's So Crazy, It Just Might Work. Today, some guy thinks about a big umbrella might be the answer. This is the BPP from NPR News.